Hebrews. When we go into Hebrews, and I have an overhead, but turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And I preached on Hebrews over 15 years ago. Over 15. And then I can tell you how long it was. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Fran and Drew came to the church when I was preaching on Hebrews. And Gracie was a baby. Gracie, how old are you? 20. So it's been a while. So for Drew and Fran came with Gracie. And I'm sure Gracie remembered everything I said. Not? Okay. Anyway, so I'm going to repeat Hebrews for Gracie so that she can, you know, rehearse what she was preached some odd years ago. Close to 20, but she was walking. She wasn't a baby. You weren't a baby. 4? Okay, she was 4. So anyway, you have an idea. So it's been 16 years. But the Lord really moved that I really should go over this. It just stirred my heart. And I know the ladies did a study last year, I believe, on Hebrews. And you know, they very much enjoyed it. And so let's just look at this morning and just see what the Lord would teach us anew. Is his word always does. You read it the first time, you read it the second time, and all of a sudden you found out, gosh, this is all this stuff I didn't remember the first time. It's always like that. So we'll look. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Says this: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom God appointed the heir of all things through Jesus. Also God created the world. Also God created the world. Now, we want to look at this book, and it really is a unique book. And it helps, you know, anytime you open the Bible, just read it, God speaks to you. I mean, I don't care. It just, that's the way it works. But in reading of the books were written usually, well, not usually, for a certain purpose. They were written for a certain situation. They were written for a certain reason, too, that there's an accounting. It reads together, and, you know, and sometimes it helps to understand the background a little bit on it. But it's not that important. Just open it up. It'll speak to you. The word will speak to you. But so what we have here, this book, New Testament book, and the book is written to the Jewish people. It was written to Jewish believers. Jesus was a Jew. All the disciples were a Jew. The first message went to the Jews. That's how it started out. And, you know, and then it spread to the Gentiles. So what you have at that time is you have a huge Jewish population. Not any Gentiles. You have a huge Jewish population that understood the Old Testament. They understood, you know, they were religious and they understood the Old Testament. This book is written to them. This is who it's written to, because they have questions. He says, we know there's a Messiah and we see what Jesus does. How does this fit together? So the writer of Hebrews explains it. Now, I'll give you my personal opinion. Bunch of people disagree with it. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote this. Okay, I believe that. That's just my personal opinion. And a lot of people say, well, that's not true because it's written in different ways and different things, you know, so it's not true. And I said, well, it's written different ways because he's writing to a different, this is my opinion, it's written to a different audience. I mean, if I wrote Adam a letter and I wrote Linda a letter, they'd sound really different. You see what I'm saying? It'd be way different. And God help me if I sent Linda Adams' letter. Anyway, so that's my opinion. So I don't have any problem with the Apostle Paul writing Hebrews, but they say it's just too different from his other writings, da-da-da. Anyway, and so who cares? But that's my opinion. But anyway, so you have this book, but what is important, it helps us understand, it's written to the Jewish population. What do the Jewish population have? They have the Old Testament. They have the Old Testament. And so what Hebrews does, it explains Christ in the Old Testament. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. See, so when you realize that that's a purpose, you go, maybe that's the best way to look at this book. You know, that they are explaining Jesus in the Old Testament. So what we have here, they have an understanding of the Old Testament, and it's explaining to them how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament scripture, revealing himself as Messiah, our Redeemer. Y'all with me there? They know the Old Testament, all right? So it's explaining to him, you're looking for a Messiah, and they know Jesus. Old Testament, seeing Jesus. But how's this fit together? He explains, this is how it fits together. It fits together. Now, therefore, like this book, more than any other New Testament book, Matthew will be a close second. But this book, more than any other book, focuses on Jesus in the Old Testament. So again, the New Testament's about Jesus. But what Hebrews does, it focuses on Jesus in the Old Testament. That's where you have Hebrews. See Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, it stands alone, but it's to explain the Old Testament. So it's fascinating when you look at this and when you think that way, and it makes you look at things a little different. Therefore, this is why you have the introduction like it is. The introduction. It says this. Therefore, okay, verse 1. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. The Old Testament. That's what that statement means. Anytime you see in the New Testament, most times when it says, oh, this is just what the prophets say. Not talking about New Testament prophets. Be careful with people who claim to be a New Testament prophet. Just, be careful, because they're not like the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets, stop. There's a prophetic gift, prophetic leaning. But watch out, people just saying, I am the prophet, or I am a prophet, of God. Be careful, because the prophets, capital T, ended in the Old Testament. And you look in the New Testament, and you don't see it. You don't see it. You see a prophetic gift, and a prophetic gifting, but they're not the prophet. So, just as a rule of thumb, when you see in the New Testament, it says it's just like the prophet said. They're talking about the Old Testament. And not talking about anybody in the New Testament. All right? Just not. So, be careful. So when you say here, but what it says here, this is the reason Hebrews is introduced like it is. Long ago, guys, Hebrews, Jews, long ago, many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, by the Old Testament. That's what that means. That's what that means. Then it goes on to say and says, But now, different from the Old Testament prophets. But now, something different has happened. Verse 2. In these last days, meaning the New Testament. It's the last days. This is when Jesus is coming back. Yeah, but the last days are now. They're now. See? And it's like, golly, Jove. God's slow. It's last days. It's been a bunch of days. He goes, no. He says, one day to me is like 1,000 years. So it's really just been a couple of days. Y'all with me? I thought that's funny. Y'all just too somber. We ain't got to the somber stuff yet. Okay. So God said, no, I'm just telling you, 1,000 years is like one day. So it's just been a couple of days. It's been a couple of days. So these are the last days. And so these days are different than the other days since Jesus. So, but now something different has happened. In these last days, meaning the New Testament, God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom God appointed heir of all things. Jesus is the answer. He fulfills the Old Testament. Done. It's a done. And Jesus come here, but now Jesus, he's speaking. But now Jesus, all right? So, and he adds, and it's interesting, the Lord just sticks in there to these Jews he's talking about. And he says, by the way, you know, this is through Jesus, also God created the world. Why'd he throw that in there for? Because we're going back to creation. See what I'm saying? Going back to creation. We're going to talk about Jesus, but we're going back to creation. So you see, the whole context is different. Thus, you know, this explains other verses when he goes back to creation. Like we have, look at John 1:3. Look at John 1:3. All things were made through Jesus. Without Jesus was not anything made that was made. Now, do you see what's happened? We got the Old Testament, the prophets, you know. And now we've got Jesus, who created all that in the Old Testament, and that Jesus has the last word, and everything was about Jesus. And I'm going to explain to you, Jesus, all you Jews. Amen? You see what he's doing? So it's making a big point here. So you see the emphasis. Now, the Jews always knew God is the creator. They didn't have an issue with that. You know, did not have any issue whatsoever with that. In fact, we see where Nehemiah is praying some 400 years before the time of Christ. You see Nehemiah praying, and he says this, and Nehemiah, I don't have an overhead, but just listen to how Nehemiah prayed in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "You are the Lord. You alone. You have made the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserved all of them. And the host of heaven worships you." That's what God did. And then right here in Hebrews it says, that's what Jesus did. It's huge. It's huge. Think of the audience. Now, what we have now is Jesus identified as the one through whom God actually did the work of creation. In the beginning, God. And through Jesus, Jesus did the work. You know, it's like God said, Jesus, create. And he created. Jesus did the work of creation. Thus, the deity of Christ is revealed, and his attributes of deity are now clearly and powerfully stated. Now, again, I'm making a point. In Hebrews, you got the Jews, and it's Jesus. I believe he's Redeemer, but how, I don't understand how this fits. I don't understand how this fits. And what, how it fits is that you say God created the world? Jesus created the world. Now, what does that tell you? I mean, just play with that. What does that tell you? Jesus is God. Jesus is God. That's the whole point. That's the introduction. That's the point. And you're going, really? I got the Old Testament. I know that the Old Testament. I know God created. He's God. He's deity. Yeah, and that's who Jesus is. So it's, oh my goodness. So thus, verse 3, okay? Verse 3, now you have it. Verse 3. The first sentence in verse 3. He's talking about Messiah, speaking through Jesus these last days. And then he explains Jesus, Hebrews 1:3. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's nature. And Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, just to be light, all of us together should say, golly, whoa. I mean, whoa. It's like he is really important. I mean, he is important like you can't imagine importance. So you see that Jesus is the radiance of what? Of God. The radiance of God. And he is the exact imprint of God's nature. This is Jesus. Now, the exact imprint, fascinating, it's a very unusual word, and it's only used here in the whole New Testament. This is the only place it's used, exact imprint. And it means like a stamp. Boom. You have it, you go, that's the imprint. Jesus is the stamp of God. And it's also used exact copy, exact representation, exact representation. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact stamp of God's nature. God says, I'll show you God. The Old Testament prophets were looking for this. And the New Testament says they look and desired to see what God was talking about and their salvation. They searched the scriptures, and it's right here. Jesus is it. Not Jesus plus, Jesus is it. The stamp of God, the exact representation of the copy of God, the radiance of God is Jesus. You want to see God, God says, look at Jesus. That's me. That's who I am. That's who he is. And you think, it's kind of wow. I mean, just kind of wow. Then he goes on and he says this, the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of God. And Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, when you read Hebrews, did any of you ever stop on that phrase? I'm just going to ask you, I don't want to embarrass you, you don't have to raise your hand. Did you ever stop and think on that phrase? And I'm guilty. I just want to tell you, if you didn't, you have no comprehension of who Jesus is. You have no, I'm just telling you. Well, yes, I know, I'm going to argue. You don't. You don't have a comprehension of who Jesus is unless you understand that phrase. You don't. And so, what is it saying? It's saying that Jesus is the exact image of God, but not only that, Jesus also holds and sustains the universe by his word. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. I don't know why you overskipped that. I mean, why did you skip that? I mean, it's like, hey, watch me, folks. I'm going to speak the word and the universe coming here, and I'm going to speak, and it's going to continue. Now, if you had any reasoning about you, you would immediately leave. No, and I'm totally off my rocker. But that's what Jesus is. That is exactly what he said. I spoke it. I sustain it by what I say. By what I say. That's what that says. Well, no, it doesn't mean that. See, I told you you didn't understand God. You see where I'm getting? I'm trying not to be insulting or anything like that because I went through those whole things and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me, Lord. It must be a misprint. What does this mean? So, Jesus upholds. Now, what does he uphold? Oh, the verse says the universe. Oh, he made the world. No, it's bigger than that. It was bigger than the world. How many of you follow what the pictures on this web, telescope and stuff, they sent it out and they're seeing way into space. And this one scientist, and it was just a comment, I just read highlights, I don't pay that much attention to it. He says, it almost makes you think there's got to be a God. He says, it just doesn't end. It just makes you, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't end in these beauty and just Max said, look at this picture, you know. All these scientists remind me of Gomer Pyle. You know Gomer Pyle? Okay. All these scientists, brilliant people are like Gomer Pyle. They're golly. That's what they're doing. They can't believe what they're seeing. And then what we as Christians are saying, yeah, how to get here? God just spoke. That's how I got here. God just spoke the word. How does this exist? Did you know also, if you, the universe, it moves. It's moving. It's just nobody knows why or where or how. You know, they try to make stuff up because they don't know. They don't know. And it's just moving. And God says, not only did I make it, I'm sustaining it. It's moving how I want it to move. I'm sustaining it. It's moving. See? And so what Hebrews is saying, and the Jews kind of got, you know, they had a big awe of God. They said, well, I can see God doing a lot of this stuff. And he said, I'm just telling you, that's Jesus is doing this. Jesus, you Jews need to know that Jesus, now they knew Jesus. They were there. He is alive. And it's like, he is the one that's doing this. He's upholding the universe. I always get a kick out of it. You know, trying to figure out how God created the world and things came into being. The world. I mean, you know, the world is not even a minuscule speck in the universe. You know? If we figure it out, I said, you still can't figure the rest of it out. It's a speck. It's just a speck in the universe. See, and God is like, yeah, I did that, but you know, a lot else going on here. I did that also. I did that. It's infinite. It's infinite. So the comprehension, and again, what is he telling the Jews? Know who Jesus is. God you worship is Jesus. His attributes are Jesus. So upholds the universe by the word. Just the word. Now, interesting here when you look at this, the Greek word, there's two Greek words in the Bible. You know, we talked last week about there's two or three words for walk in the Bible. We talked about that. And in the original language, they mean totally different things. They don't mean the same thing, but we don't know what to do with them in English, so we just translate them walk, you know, and we get the point across. Well, the word in the Bible where it uses the word, there's different words for word. Okay, and the two of the main one is logos, and that's what we always worship. This is the Bible, it's our logos, the word of God, the logos, okay, the general, massive word of God. But there's another word, it's rhema. Now, rhema means specific word. It's specific. God loves everybody. Logos, God loves you. It's rhema. See, it's rhema. He says that Jesus upholds the universe by his rhema. He specifically spoke it into being for a specific person. He went, hey, let's get together and let's speak a logos. No, we're going to speak a rhema, and I'm going to create the universe by a specific word. So it's like fascinating that Jesus, we have Jesus here by his specific word, Jesus' specific word is holding the universe together. How many of you say, I'd just like to go up and just ask Jesus? You know? And I've done that a lot. But I read something like that and I say, I don't think I'm going to ask him anything. He's got this, and I don't know if I want to venture into that territory, what he's doing. It's a specific word. So he held the universe together specific. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. It's the Big Bang Theory. I'm just thinking, hearing for a rude awakening is his word. It was his word. See, we can do all this, but we can't explain the beginning. No, because it's his word. It's his specific word. his specific word. So it's like fascinating, the rhema. You ever circle that in your Bible or put something where it says, or rhema specific. Rhema specific. He specifically spoke the universe. Now, if he specifically spoke the universe, do you know what he also spoke in? Oh, by the way, this world also. The speck, web telescope stuff, and the speck. I spoke the speck into place, too. Wasn't that hard? You know, really wasn't that hard. See, so the magnitude of what's being said, you skip it. And how do I know you skip it? Because I just ask you if you skipped it. See? And if you skip it, you can't grasp the magnitude of God. You can't. You just can't. You got a little God. You got a little, little bitty God compared to who God is. Now, I'm talking to myself. Talking to myself. Big time talking to myself. So, it's like, good grief, when you see this whole picture here. So, a specific word of God. Now, so, this is how God created the worlds, the universe, specific. And that is also how he sustains it, specific. You all with me? That's God. See, that's God. You know why we have a problem with that? Because we're human. We're finite. And he doesn't fit our little world. And that's why we have a problem with that. We have a problem with that. And so what we see here is majesty. How many times have you seen us? Look at God's majesty. That's what he's talking about. Oh, this is God's majesty. You ain't got a clue. You skipped that verse. You don't have a clue. His majesty is way bigger than you can imagine. Than you can imagine. So it's powerful. Now, just take this, what I said, and just think about it. This is just my extrapolation. Okay, extrapolation. The word is a word. Me is an extrapolation. So you can discount me extrapolating. But here's my extrapolation. If Jesus didn't speak or held his breath, the universe would cease to exist. Think about it. How's it held together? Word. How's it sustained? How's it sustained? The word. Right? Do you believe? Now, it does say that. That ain't a Wally. Okay, Wallace. That's not Wallace. That's a truth. Everybody true? Everybody good? That's true? What if he held his breath? Then it's gone. It's gone. You know, if he held his breath, we'd be gone. We'd be gone. I thank God he breathed. We have that one. Adam has that one song. Oh, God, breathe on me. Yeah, we could add to it. And don't hold your breath. You know, we exist because of God upholding us. And if he didn't exist, you know, it's... You try to pull this together, it's like matter. That chair, as long as you look at that chair, it's got to come from someplace. It can't exist. So you can't figure, well, matter. Well, something, no, what, something. It's matter. What matter? Well, bottom line, where it came from, God spoke. God spoke. And he spoke all the matter he needed in there. So driving home this whole point again, but you think about it. If he held his breath, the universe, if it just left the Webb telescope, that's it. And the universe, and God held his breath, it'd just be the Webb universe, with the Webb in darkness. There'd be nothing there. Nothing to make a picture of. Of course, we wouldn't be here to look at it either, so I mean, it's kind of... Okay. I mean, and I want you to look at this and meditate on it. I want you to think about it and think about your life. Your life, Diddy. He's out of control, full of worries, falling apart, joy, sadness, whatever, you know. And God goes, I'm here. I'm here. And you're here because of me. You're here. And if you recognize I'm here, then you'll come to me and I'll speak to you and I'll lead you. I'll lead you. So, now, we need to have a larger view of Jesus. Bottom line. You know, bottom line. Now, the thing of it is, when you look at it, the Old Testament Jews had a concept that was good of God and who he was. You know, and he, in the New Testament, the realization that it's wrapped up in Christ. Christ was his purpose. Christ was his purpose, and that's what he's explaining to the Jews. Christ is my purpose. And so they understood about God's creation, you know, and sustaining the universe. I love Job. Job, I don't have an overhead this, but just listen to what Job says. Job said, and Job was like us. He can't figure out nothing. I mean, everything is literally going to hell in a handbasket. He's like, God, what are you doing? You know, and Job was one that, listen, let me stand before you. I got a case. Let me talk to you, you know. And this, that makes me jump to Job. God answered Job. He goes, says, yes, who dares to come before my throne with words without meaning? See, I know that, and that's the reason I don't want to go, because I know what the answer is, and I got less meaning than Job did. Job had a lot more understanding than I did. But anyway, that's another point. So, but Job understood God. He was a godly man. He understood God, but everything went wrong. But Job says this about God. In Job 34:14 through 15, Job says, if it were God's intention, if God wanted to, if it were God's intention, and he withdrew his spirit and breath. See, he could do it. I mean, that's what Job's saying. If it were God's intention and he withdrew his spirit, all humanity would perish together and mankind would return to dust. How does that happen? Hold his breath. Oh, God's going to come and judge and bring lightning and, you know, hail and, you know, firestorm. No, he just hold his breath. Ain't that big a deal. You know, he just holds his breath. He's gone. See? Now, this is so that Job understood this. The Jews understood this. What was a surprise is it truly is coming through Jesus. And the way it reads, God says, I'm not personally going to hold my breath. I'm just going to ask Jesus, and he's going to hold his breath. Same thing. It's going to happen. There's going to be nothing. There's going to be none. And so the flip side of that, to be something, he's got to speak. See, we stay on the flip side, nothing, and not on the side of he speak. You know, how do we know he speaks? You're here. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, so it's fascinating when you look at all this. Now, to just harp and keep going, I mean, the scripture gives us something else. Let's just look at it to drive home the point. The same truth about Jesus, the same truth, okay, you've got Hebrews and Job, is in Colossians. Colossians. I'm going to ask you something. Now, I'm messing with you, because do you know where it is? Do you know where it is? If you don't know where it is, you got little God. If you don't know where it is, it's there. Well, you need, it's like, we think we're like, you know, like our kids. If you don't tell them five times, you're not going to do it. You know, that's what we say. Well, you should have told me again. He said, I just told you the third time. You see, look at this. What does it say in Colossians 1:17? And Jesus is before all things. See, the Apostle Paul did write this. It sounds terribly close to Hebrews. Just want to let you know. It does, you know. Whether I wrote the letter to Adam or Linda, I'd say this same thing. Okay, it's, you know, there's a connection. Okay. And Jesus is before all things, and in him, in Jesus, all things, hold together. Son of a gun. Son of a gun. You? Now, what this, when you read closely, Jesus, he says, Jesus is before all things. See, Jesus is before all things, which literally means that Jesus existed before time began. See? That sounds like Hebrews. Oh my goodness. And anyway, both of them, but they knew each other. They knew each other. Wasn't a surprise. Jesus is before all things. That means in creation, in a created thing before, and again he says he's before all things, he's before time. How did it get here? He spoke. That's how it got here. That's good. I mean, you talk about the Big Bang. Jesus is the big and he is the bang. Okay? Jesus is the Big Bang. All right? So we sit here. Jesus existed before time began. Not, you know, before so-and-so. No, before time began. Jesus created time. Jesus created time. Process that. Then Jesus, who created the universe, also sustains it. All things hold together. Well, which all things? The all things are all things. Your infinite little mind. Okay. All things hold together. Jesus holds all things together. Now let me repeat this. Hebrews, Colossians, and Job say, if Jesus ceased to speak or held his breath, the universe would cease to exist. It's a biblical fact. We're here because Jesus breathes. Breathes. We're here because Jesus breathes. How big, I'm going to ask yourself, and this is me, I'm so convicted. How big is our gun? How big? What are you doing? I know it because I'm doing the same thing. What are you going through? Oh, we'll never get out of this. Never figure this out. There's no answer to this. You know, it's like, Jesus goes, yeah, you want me to breathe on it, maybe? I'll breathe on it if you want me to, but just ask. Because all I have to do is breathe on it. Remember what Elisha said? If the kings came and they asked him something there in the jam, and Elisha goes, I almost see him yawning. He goes, oh, this is a small thing for God. This is nothing for God. This is not, and so it's there. It's there. Now, here the picture, you pull this there. This is why God says that the heavens are the witness to God and the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. He goes, the heavens are a witness to God. I've shared this before. My dad was just a non-believer. Didn't know. I mean, it wasn't like he just didn't know. And so I was trying to share, you know, all my wisdom about God. And he just looked at me. He goes, listen, are you trying to tell me there's a God? I said, well, yeah, kind of. You know, he's trying to have, his eyes walk outside, look at the stars. I know there's a God. See, that's the way our conversations always went like that, yeah. See, but what he says is, no, God's already done the work. God's already done the work. I know he's God, because just look how else would it happen. And this is what the Bible says, Psalms 9, no overhead, Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. His handiwork. Jesus' specific word proclaimed the heavens into existence. And you look up and think, wow. You know, and that scientist, I mean, it's quoted, read it. He says, it makes you think, gosh, there must be a God. See, it was, he almost shorted out over that, what he was seeing. And he thought, well, that's what it's supposed to do, what it's supposed to do. And we read on, don't have an overhead for this, but you read on in Isaiah 40, 25 through 26. It says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Do you believe in the inerrancy of Scripture? Do you? Do you believe this? All the stars, he called them out, and he named them. Everyone, he called them out. They just, and I kind of, you know, that kind of throws out the Big Bang thing, because it's like, no, I called them out, I placed them. I put them where they're supposed to be. And I'm going to make it where you look up and you can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. I put them there. And I call them name by name. See, all the stars of the universe, Jesus called them. And he called them by name. He called us. He called us by name. He called us by name. You know. Therefore, how big is your God? How big is your God? How big is your... It's more than you can imagine. It's more than you can imagine. Now, you have to understand this, how big God is for salvation. Oh, he saved me. I'm eternally safe. I'm going to heaven. But this stuff just happened. This just happened. How do you know you'll get up there and you find, uh-oh, it just happened. Why not? See, your logic will carry through that majesty, all that, and that majesty saved me, and we'll be all in awe worshiping him. Now, I'm not saying you have to understand this and understand all this stuff and go to heaven. All you do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for your sin, and you'll go. And he says, you poor little darling, I'll explain this to you. See, he made it easy. He made it easy for us to come to know him just with the things going on in our life. So, but do you see the importance? Again, rhetorical question. Do you see the importance of trying to comprehend the majesty of God? Do you? Importance? God thinks it's important. He says, listen, understand what you're dealing with. Understand what you're doing. Look at the majesty. Now, are we getting the majesty? You know, getting the look at the last sentence that he writes in this section. After the majesty is explained, then he writes this letter. Jesus, the majesty of God, the imprint of God, speaks out specific words, holds everything together, sustains your Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, only then he says this. You ready? Look at Hebrews 1:3, the last sentence. Then he says, this Jesus that holds the world together, that sustains the world, this Jesus, after making purification for our sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. A big God saved us. And for us to live it out, we need to understand it's a big God. And specifically in this book, he's saying, hey, you Jews, for you to understand, you understand the Old Testament, but to understand salvation of what Jesus has did, you have to understand who Jesus is. And there's nothing without Jesus. That's the purpose of the book. That's the purpose of the book. And he... And whoever wrote this is way more wordier than I am. Because he wrote 13 chapters to explain this. He said, listen, I'm going to take you through step by step. And you, when it's through, you're going to say, oh my God, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. How many of you have a tough time with the book of Leviticus? Hebrews explains it. And to explain Jesus... the writer of Hebrews explains Leviticus. See? Fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. And when Jesus, we understand the majesty and we're in awe, that's just hard to comprehend. And God goes in, that's who saved you. When he did, that's who saved you. And after purifying our sins, they knew he died on the cross. See, he didn't have to tell them. He knew that he died on the cross. After making purification for our sins, dying on the cross, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus goes, done. What did he say on the cross? What was the last thing he said on the cross? It's finished. Finished. We're done. Jews, don't miss this. Don't miss this. This is what you've been looking for. Don't miss it. You know, because it's all in Jesus. He said it. He's done. It's done. And Jesus has a finished work. We're part of his finished work. We're part of his finished work. And I don't know why this came to mind. Be very specific. He's part of his finished work in you. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be as right as God. Don't add anything to do that. If you add anything, you don't understand his majesty. Oh, God, I know he created the universe, but he needs me. He needs me. And, you know, he got this. I got this problem. He needs me to fix it, you know. What are you doing? What are you doing? The Bible spends most of its time trying to have us believe who we are. All we're doing is fighting with him, telling that you can't do it, you don't have time. You don't know my situation. You just don't you wouldn't believe my kids. You just wouldn't believe. They take after my wife. I have to do this. Oh God, the spouse you gave me. The spouse, why'd you do that? And he goes, you picked her. You picked him. You know, you got it. You're done with it. I mean, I told you beforehand. But you see this? My husband won't come to know the Lord. Finished. He got you, didn't he? We're not done. You see what I'm saying? One's mindset changes once we start thinking about who God says he is. He's just trying to tell us who he is. And then that who Jesus is. And the salvation verse, I just can't help but read it again. Jesus says, it's finished. And after making purification for sins, he sat down. There's a fascinating verse. It's kind of, when you remember Stephen's being stoned, he stands up for Jesus. So they stone Stephen, and he looks up at Jesus. You know what he says? And Jesus stood up. Just think about it. He says, no, I'm here, Stephen. That's the only time that shows he stood up is when he originally looked for Stephen. See, because he's sitting down. He's sitting down. Well, who's doing God's work, doing what God's supposed to do? Those that understand his majesty and hear what he says and walks based on what he's telling them. And the Lord will speak to you through the scripture. The Lord will speak to you through the scripture. You don't have to go to some self-proclaimed prophet. Be careful when you do that. Compare them to scripture. Because the scripture is what speaks to you. And he's telling the author of Hebrews is saying, it's the Scripture. Let me show you in the Scripture. Let me show you in your Old Testament. Let me show you the truth of the Scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the God's people said, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for the magnitude of who you are. We thank you that to give us a glimpse to even see who you are, that it's more than we can ever comprehend. And God, you're asking us to look to you, focus on you, and hold our hands out to you, and you will speak to us and lead us and guide us in all these things we struggle through. And that you love us more than we can ever imagine. You sacrificially love us. The God of the universe that created all things, spoke things into place, died on the cross and took our sin. You resurrected. Stands up by God the Father. And after the purification of sins, he sat down, because it's done. It's finished. And we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus.